from the city of brotherly love, this is Shark Bite Biz with David Strausser.
You just arrived at the newest episode of Shark Bite Biz. I'm your rockstar wannabe host, David Strausser, and this is your place to learn how to grow a business during complete global chaos. First, I've got to announce, if you're in Eastern PA, even Jersey, Philly, Allentown, Scranton, Harrisburg, or Pottsville, Pennsylvania, come join us March 23rd from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Crimson House in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, where we will have the man himself, American Idol legend William Hung, playing his famous renditions of She Bangs and Rocket Man. Best part is all the proceeds benefit ALS in the name of Darren Fulton, the father of Steve Fulton from Fulton Music Center, also located in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. It's charity, live music, networking. It is going to be incredible, and you are going to love it. You can get your tickets at bigtickets.com, okay? Once again, bigtickets.com, okay? Just search William Hung. It'll come up right there, Crimson House, 323, March 23rd, 8 to 11 p.m. Get your tickets now. Aren't many left, and it's about, I don't know, this week. It'll be this Saturday. So I'd love to see all you baby sharks and shark biters out there. Now let's get back to today's episode. We're going to be chatting about banking on yourself. So who do we have today? None other than Mark Willis. Mark Willis is a man on a mission to help you think differently about your money, your economy, and your future. After graduating with six figures of student loan debt and discovering a way to turn his debt into real wealth, as he watched everybody lose their retirement savings and home equity in 2008, he knew that he needed to find a more predictable way to meet his financial objectives and those of his clients. Mark is a CFP, which is a certified financial planner, and a three-time number one best-selling author, the owner of Lake Growth Financial Services, a financial firm in Chicago, Illinois, and co-host of Not Your Average Financial Podcast. Over the years, he has helped hundreds of his clients take back control of their financial future and build their businesses with proven tax-efficient financial solutions unknown to most financial gurus. He has become known as Not Your Average Financial Planner. So, hey, I'm going to shut up, okay? Make sure you come see William Hung on 323, bigtickets.com. And let's bring Mark right on in here.
Business strategy.
Mark, welcome to Shark Bite Biz. You, my friend, you just became shark bait.
All right. Yeah. Well, I've always wanted to have a good chum like you. So I appreciate that, man.
There you go. There you go. First person to ever hit me back with a zinger on the opening line. Good job.
Glad to be on. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. So, we have a tradition on the show. We ask every single guest, what's your background? What's your experience? What do you do for a living? Basically, in a nutshell, what makes Mark Mark?
Well, I've had the great privilege over the last decade and more to work with business owners, real estate investors, even some, Super Bowl champions. But most people I work with are just trying to find more control and perception and, I guess agency over their life. When I meet most Americans just talking about money as a certified financial planner, I hear them saying things that make me, feel sort of sorry for the average Joe, the average Jane. They feel like a tennis ball floating down the gutter of life, and there's really not much they can do about it. And still other people, I speak with them and they discuss money as if they walked into a movie. Have you ever walked into a movie like 45 minutes late and you're not really sure what the plot is or what's going on or why is that dude punching that guy or why are they kissing over there? You know, there's all these different things happening. You don't know the backstory. And I feel like that's sort of how most people experience this relationship they have with money. They don't know why they have a 401k or a credit card or why they're supposed to buy a house or any of the other oh-so-average American ways to kind of deal with money. They just sort of start to pile up all these assumptions and biases without ever really understanding what do they truly want their money doing for them. And I guess what I've been, again, had the great privilege to do over the last few years. We've written several books. We have our podcast with over 300 episodes. And our aim is to...
Oh, man, you got more than us.
Well, it's just trying to dispel the myths around money and to give people something that's not so average. Because if average is in debt up to your eyeballs and fearful for your own retirement, I don't want to be average. I'd rather be awesome. And so that's what we're all about at our firm.
No, that is incredible. And I know debt is a big problem for many, many people out there. I mean, student debt, other types of debt. I mean, it is insane. So let's talk about, I just mentioned it. I mean, student debt, which is part of your bio as well, too. Let's tackle that, okay? Because I think that's probably what most people here listening have and can relate to, okay? What do you do about student debt? Like, how important should that be on a level 1 to 10 as far as getting that taken care of, squared away, things like that? I mean, what's your overall opinion of student debt?
Well, you're right. In my bio, I guess I can tell the audience, we graduated, my wife and I, from our college degrees. I carried into the marriage a tremendous amount of debt. We had a collective amount. Mine was the majority, but we had a total of $120,000 of student loan debt. This was in 2008 when interest rates were lower, yes, but there was also this thing called the Great Financial Crisis going on.
Right.
And I didn't have a job and I had no way to pay off the debt. And maybe, David, most importantly, I had no plan to pay off the debt either. I didn't have a process by which I knew I was going to be better off. All I knew was to follow what some radio hosts were telling me to do. The last name rhymes with Shamsi. And he was just telling us to throw money at the debt and hope and pray. Well, all I knew was to do that until we got about halfway through that project of paying off all that debt. And a mentor of mine said, Mark, is it possible Dave Ramsey could be wrong about something? And at that moment, I had no, I guess I had a little crack in my closed mind as to what was best for my financial future. I just figured follow the guru's advice. Mm-hmm. I had never really thought critically about my own financial life. You know, college teaches right. you to think critically sometimes. In this case, I'd never thought critically about this thing called money. So began to look at it, began to consider what are my options, even as I was throwing all that money at my debt. Now, what's the big problem? If you're overpaying on your debts, isn't that a good thing? Here's the problem. I was losing the most valuable dollars that I'd ever have in my life. I was in my mid-20s at the time.
Yeah.
And think about it. If I have a dollar in my pocket as a 25-year-old, that could do a lot of growth to my lifetime. Then say if I was a 75-year-old with only a dollar in my pocket, right? Mm-hmm. So the time value of money is a big deal. And so whether I throw money into my student loans or I buy an ice cream cone or a coffee cup or whatever, anytime I choose to do something with a dollar, I'm saying no to all the other options out there. This is known as opportunity Thanks. Cost. And most financial plans do not take into account opportunity cost.
Right.
They tell you the oh-so average way to do things is to put money into your 401k and to put money into your house equity, paying down your mortgage, et cetera. What does that do? Well, that locks the money up. It makes in the case of the 401k, it makes it taxable to you in the future. Mm-hmm. When do you think tax rates will be higher, David, now or 30, 40 years from now?
Probably 30, 40 years from now.
And yet most of us are deferring our taxes into that more expensive future. All along the way, we're paying a fee on money that we'll ultimately never enjoy because we'll have to give it to the government. Let me say that again. If you got a fee-based 401k, IRA, and I don't know any of them that are doing this for charity, so they're all charging fees, you're paying a fee on the portion of the money you'll ultimately yield over to your great and wonderful Uncle Sam. And he got a free ride on your money with no risk, right? And no fees. How generous of you. So most people are putting money in these.
Let me ask a quick question, if you don't mind me jumping in. With the IRA, that is post-tax money. So even though, chances are taxes will be going up in the future, I mean, taxes on that technically should be lower than a traditional 401k. Is that accurate or inaccurate?
Well, there are two types of IRAs. There's a traditional IRA, which is the one that would be tax deferred, just like a 401k would be. But you're right. There's this other entity called a Roth IRA. And Roth IRAs are taxed today so that you can have a tax-free harvest. I ask people in our consultations, we do one-on-one advisory meetings, financial analysis meetings, where we do a deep dive into their current financial situation. And we look at what are their aims? What are their intents? What do they want their money doing for them? One of those questions is, do you believe taxes will be lower or higher? I don't care about politics. You know, I don't care who the president is. This is a financial conversation. So in 20 years, 10 years, 30 years, whenever you're going to be retired, will taxes be lower or higher? And every single person, to a T, says taxes are going up. And yet, 95% of Americans have the vast majority of their retirement savings in a tax-deferred 401k or traditional IRA or other forms of government deferral programs. So I always ask them, hey, if you defer something like your taxes, it's sort of like deferring a root canal. Now, back to your original question, what should we do with student loans? Well, one option is to just throw money at them and to lose all the opportunity cost you have on that dollar. If I throw a dollar, if I'm 27 years old or 30 years old, I throw a dollar into my student loans, that's maybe $13, $15 that I won't have in retirement time, depending on my rate of return. Is there an alternative? This was the aha moment of my adult life. And I got to explain this briefly and walk you through it for just a minute. But it tore down my mindset as to how money really works. And it gave me a brand new framework that now we've since trademarked. We call it the debt snow bank method of paying off your debts. So it's a tool that Americans are using to become not just debt free, but better than debt free. Okay, so here's how the process works. We discovered, of all things, David, a dividend-paying whole life insurance policy that's known as bank on yourself designed. I think you had a guest on several years ago. His name's Sari. He's a great colleague of mine. He was on here on your show a few years ago. And this strategy, using what's known as bank on yourself type whole life insurance.
I remember Sari on the show, and I remember him talking about let's see how good my memory is and if I could sum this up. About he was talking about the strategy of basically what rich people do in order to grow their wealth without actually using their actual cash or to something like that to that degree. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. The very uber wealthy use this same strategy, but poor little post-grad college student like me decided to give it a try, and it worked out tremendously for me too. So you can be anywhere on the spectrum of the wealth, you know, trajectory, and this tool seems to make sense for many people, not for everybody. So here's how it works in a very brief bite here. So one, the policy itself, it's a whole life insurance policy that grows outside of the stock market, guaranteed. This means, David, every year your money's growing guaranteed without interruption. There's never going to be a recession on your money ever again. Number two, this money is liquid and accessible to you. So this is not life insurance only. It's not just the death benefit for the family someday. It's also something and a part of this policy is known as cash value. And you might think of it almost like a savings bucket within the policy or equity, you might say, within the policy. And that savings component is accessible to you today, like, you know, while you're still alive. So funny enough, you can use that. You can either withdraw the money out or you can borrow against it. And that's what I decided to do when I paid off my student loans. Here's what happened as I kind of wrap this up. Here's the steps of the debt snowbank method. One, I kept current on all my debts. Didn't go behind on my payments. Step two, instead of throwing extra money on my debt, step two meant I was to open a bank on yourself designed whole life policy and pack extra money I could every month into that policy. So now I'm flooding my own policy with wealth. This is almost as if it's an asset for myself rather than just throwing money into the hole of my old student loans. So far, is that making sense?
Right. That makes total sense. So let's just switch topics a little bit here then. So what about life after death then? You know, like we get all the debt paid off, okay, student loans, stuff like that. Or maybe you didn't have student loans, or maybe, I don't know, you inherited money and everything's paid off, okay? Let's look at best case scenario. You're debt free, okay? What is your life looking like then, and how should you handle that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at this point in my journey, I had all that debt and I was just paying the minimal payments on it. And I threw everything extra I could toward my policy. And then step three in the debt snowbank method, I borrowed against my life insurance to wipe out my student loans. Now you asked what happens after you're debt free. Well, I was student loan debt free, but my policy, and this is maybe the biggest piece to the whole conversation. Mm-hmm. Your policy continues to grow even when you borrow against it, as if there is no loan.
Right.
So to me, what this means is, let's say you had $50,000 of cash value and you borrow against that policy to pay off a debt or to buy a car. Even as you've paid off your debts or bought your car, your policy is still earning interest on the entire $50,000, even on the capital you borrowed against, like there was no loan. So this is being better than debt-free. Not only am I student loan debt-free, and then I, of course, repay my loan to myself. My own policy is now paid off and everything. But now I've got this underlying asset earning interest for me. I've achieved uninterrupted compounding on that money. In other words, I didn't lose the opportunity to grow my money for my retirement or whatever else I want to use the money for while having to pay off my student loans. I took care of my past debt and prepared for my future at the same time. David, I'm not familiar with any other financial tool that lets us do that.
No, I mean, I'm not familiar with any whatsoever myself, too. And that is pretty cool. So, I mean, I guess the obvious question is how do people get to that? Okay. How do you achieve that? How do you get that type of policy? And then how do you start out with all that stuff? I mean, people are probably wondering like, oh, wow, this sounds great. Okay. But how do you actually do it?
Well, first of all, you want to sit down with someone who's able to competently review your situation. It's not a good fit for everybody. I always tell folks, don't look at this as being a, you know, high risk, high return kind of vehicle. It's a savings alternative. You might consider it part of the cash portion of your portfolio. So sit down with a competent professional. I recommend if it's me, that's great. If you don't decide to work with me, that's fine. You can work with any Bank on Yourself professional, but you got to make sure they're authorized by Bank on Yourself. There are a lot of nicknames for this out there. Infinite Family this and Wealth Banking that, and there's just all these nicknames out there. As long as it's through the credentialing process of the Bank on Yourself authorized professionals program, that's going to be what you're needing to make sure these policies are designed properly from the start. So sit down with one of the Bank on Yourself professionals. Myself or my team would be happy to help. And then we would design and custom tailor a policy that meets your needs from mm-hmm. day one. Maybe all you can do is $500 a month. Or maybe you've got a lump sum from your tax refund you got this year. Or maybe you got, you know, some extra money sitting in the savings account and you want to dump money in as a lump sum. Or maybe you've got, you know, regular annual bonuses that you get at the end of the year. Don't know till we sit down and talk with you and design this policy custom to your situation. Once we've set the policy up and it's up and running, we come alongside you as a guide and a mentor and a coach, and we give you feedback and strategy on how to use the policy for your real estate investing or buying business equipment or sending your kid to college. I mean, or buying your cars or paying for your annual tax bill. I mean, the applications, David, are pretty infinite if folks have the eyes to see.
That sounds pretty awesome. And it sounds like you said, even if it's $500 a month. So it sounds like, unlike, you know, some other people that we've had on the show, they're talking about different strategies like, oh yeah, you know, like typically 80, 100K is minimum you need to get in. Sounds like you're quite reasonable and affordable to help out the regular Joe or Jane.
Yeah, you know, the more you put in, it's just like a savings account. The more you can save, the more you'll have. And that's true with these policies as well. But I tell folks, crawl if you have to, walk if you can, run if you're able, you know, but just start moving in the right direction. I mean, you start with one number, and then hopefully you can find ways through our conversations and budgeting. We can help you increase that savings rate over time. But start where you can, grow from there.
That, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory at this point, but obviously it's pretty awesome. And I do like how you're able to, you know, downscale it. Like, you're not like, hey, yeah, we need $100,000 up front. You know, we only work with top. We've had so many of those people, and they're great people. And, you know, a lot of their investment strategies and stuff like that work. But especially when you talk about younger people, you know, that are in their 20s, maybe early 30s. And we had some rough years economically through COVID and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like this younger generation. I mean, even up to my age, and I'm 40, I'll be 41 in May. You know, it's not like we're as rich of as our parents were, or grandparents. You know what I mean? It's a lower, some have made very good lives and careers, but generally speaking, I mean, that's why I think student debt, you know, is such a hot issue and such a hot topic, you know, on the political side of things, is because of the fact that it does make it hard for people to actually earn money. So let's wrap up with one final question, okay? Because I'm sure people are wondering about this, is, you know, when they do get retirement age, and some people may be too young to be even thinking about retiring, but maybe they kind of are, like they want to be set up for the future. But what do you think realistically is the real rate of return that investors can expect from the stock market, according to your research?
Well, this gets to the heart, I think, of what most people hear and expect. You know, I think conflict at its root is just unexpressed expectation. So when people feel the anger toward their 401k, oftentimes it's too late. You know, mm-hmm. You cannot put toothpaste back in a tube. You cannot easily unwind the clock. And there's no way, impossible really, to unwind the volatility that comes with the market. So let me give you a fun example. What if I told you I could give you an average rate of return of 25%? Would that be a reasonable, that's a decent rate of return, right? Would you be happy with that?
I think most people would.
Okay. Let's do a little fun with math. Okay. A little math of magic here.
Oh my God. Do I have to pull out a calculator?
No. I promise. Okay. I'll keep it easy on you. You just have to tell me how you feel along the way. Okay. That's your job.
Okay.
So let's say you've got $10,000. So far, you're feeling pretty good, I'm guessing, mm-hmm. right? And you put that money into something, invest it in whatever you want. Let's say this year it goes up 100%. So how much money do you have now? It's $20,000. So how do you feel at the end of year one?
Oh, incredible. Awesome.
Yeah. Rock on. Okay. So now
doubled,
let's start
my money.
Year two. Yeah. Well, you doubled your money in 1 year. That's amazing. Now in year two, you stick with that investment. And unfortunately, you lost 50% of your money. Ooh, ouch. So your $20,000 goes back down to $10,000. How do you feel now?
I feel pretty crappy.
Yeah, crappy. Even though we had the same money, feeling good with that money at the start of this experiment, right? But yes, right. I would feel crappy too. Okay, so we just did that experiment. Let's do the math there. What was our rate of return? Would you be surprised if I told you your average rate of return was 25%? Let's do the math.
Yes, yes. 100%. Because to me, it seems like where I started, that would be zero to me on the surface, but
your real
I'm not a
rate of return. No, this is why we call our show Not Your Average Financial Podcast, because your money can get an average rate of return without you experiencing any real benefit financially. You went up 100%, you lost 50. Divide that by 2 years to get your average. 100 minus 50 divided by 2 is 25%. That's your average rate of return. And the SEC allows money managers and investment firms to advertise averages, which I think is a crime. And it belies the fact that they are over-promising and then under-delivering. So the average, you'll see it all over the place. The stock market will average 10% over the next, whatever, 10 years, 30 years, whatever. That's the average. But the real investor, and this is according to Dalbar. Okay, check this out, guys. Look up their quantitative analysis of investor behavior. Dalbar is out of Massachusetts. They're a third-party rating agency. They have no dog in this fight. Okay, they just do the research. Third-party research agency, I should say. They do research every year on the real investor return. And here it is. This shocks me. Over 30 years, the real investor who's got target date funds, index funds, a blend of stocks and bonds, you know, the typical portfolio blended across stocks and bonds, the 30-year average real rate of return was only 3.6%.
Wow.
In the stocks and bonds market. So if you've got a typical 401k, you probably get about 3.5% on your money over time. Now, keep in mind, a third of that 3.5% is going to go to the government when you take the money out. Mm-hmm. So your real after-tax return is somewhere around 2-2.5% in the market over 30 years. Now, I don't know about you, David, but that doesn't exactly thrill me. I'm not exactly jumping out of bed to go invest in the stock. Think of all the risk you had to go through over 30 years in the stock market, all the hopes, all the prayers, all the checking the Dow Jones every day, whatever, God forbid. That's the reality that most Americans have to live with. Using these bank on yourself policies, they are tax-free when you access the money. They're liquid. You can spend them in retirement tax-free, much like a Roth IRA. If you know, the tax law says you can get the money out without taxes due. To me, this is an alternative to the 401k. In fact, it's the anti-401k.
Because that's awesome.
It's not taxable in retirement. It grows guaranteed, and I have access to it. Can't say anything about the 401k in that regard.
Wow. You know what, Mark? This has been incredible. I mean, I got a full education. I could tell you, me personally, I am 100% interested in following up on this. It's something I should have done a long time ago when Sarah was on the show. But now that you're here, and I think you have a lower bar of entry than he does as well, too, to be fair. You know, as far as at least getting something started and then growing from there with you, I could tell you I'm 100% interested. But right now, let's wrap up by having you please tell us your books, your podcasts, your website. Here's your sales time. Tell us where people can find. I think you've already sold everybody that you're a genius with your anti-CFP strategy stuff. But go out there and tell everybody where they can find you and all the good stuff.
Well, I mean, imagine if you could find an account statement coming from your financial firm with your money that showed a bigger number every single time you opened it up. You had no unpleasant surprises. Imagine having a plan, you know, a real plan for getting through not just retirement, but all of your life's needs, big projects, goals, you know, the cabin you want to buy, the you know, the cars, whatever else, the horse you want to get for your kids, the kids' college, all of it. Imagine what it would feel like to have all that basically done for you. Without having to take a bunch of unnecessary risk. That's what we work on with our clients every day of the week. It's our privilege to do so. So you can reach out to me or my team. You can find me at Kickstart with Mark. That's Kickstart with Mark with a K.com. And we'll have a 15-minute phone strategy session just to see if this tool is a good fit or if other tools make sense. You know, we are a full financial firm. So if this one tool is not a right fit, we'll look elsewhere. But it's a strategy a lot of people have asked us about lately, and we specialize in it. So that's kickstartwithmark.com, and we can set up a 15-minute phone call to get to know you and see what questions you might have.
Okay. Well, that sounds amazing. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. And this really sounds awesome. I love it. I love it. And I'll be in contact with you personally in the next few weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks for the time.
No, thank you for your time, sir. Take care. Cheers. Bye-bye. Wow, that was such an incredible chat with Mark, right? First, you all know the routine. If you found this interview helpful, if it sparked those warm and fuzzies, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit smash that subscribe button. But if you really want to help us out, because you know Shark Bite Biz is the greatest kept secret in the world of small business, please do us a favor. Share us out to your friends, your family, your colleagues, anywhere you dwell on the interwebs. You know, I'd love to see nothing more than Lake Grove, Mark Willis, and Shark Bite Biz out there trending. So anyways, awesome stuff, Mark.
thank you so much for coming on, sharing your expertise. And I really love how you're teaching people to bank on themselves instead of relying on outside forces they cannot control. As always, a link to Mark's site is going to be down below. Question of the day. What do you think about banking on yourself? Leave a comment down below on YouTube. Remember, if you want to be on the show, interviews at sharkbitebiz.com. If you're watching on YouTube, please join the channel. $3 a month. You become a baby shark. Every dollar in is every dollar out. And, you know, all we're trying to do is grow this channel and educate as many people as we can with some of the brightest minds in business. You all know this by now, but I'll say it once again. I'm David Strausser. This is Shark Bite Biz. We'll see you all next episode. Ciao.
You've just experienced SharkBite Biz with Dave Strausser. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the show to help us spread the word about personal, professional, and business growth. Want to be on the show? Send an email to interviews@sharkbitebiz.com. Till next episode.